You've heard the news. 30% of Arctic ice gone. Floods, storms, fires. We're pushing the Earth over a very big climate cliff. The time for talk is over. We need to act now.
It's the tough news from Radio EcoShock.
Human-made carbon is pouring into the Earth's atmosphere. According to The Independent, global warming will speed up due to a sharp rise in greenhouse gases. During the last 50 years, carbon increased by an average of 1.3 parts per million every year. In 2002 and 2003, it was 2 parts per million more per year. Unpublished reports for 2005 make it 2.2 parts per million. It's climbing rapidly and piling up each and every year we burn fossil fuels. Coal is one of the biggest sources of carbon dioxide. It's the dirtiest fossil fuel we burn. There are plenty of cleaner alternatives. It's an emergency. We need to stop coal mining and coal burning now, today. This isn't just an environmentalist demand. A wide range of governments, scientific institutions, and planners have recognized that coal has to go. One of the leading examples for a rapid phase-out of coal is Ontario, the most industrialized province of Canada. The Ontario government has promised a complete phase-out of coal power by 2007 in Canada's largest industrial province. But Ontario's unreliable nuclear power plants, rapidly reaching their age limits, led past governments to increase coal by 120% between 1995 and 2003. Yet, with limitations on coal use, the province has not experienced brownouts or blackouts and continues to grow economically. There has been a positive response to government initiatives to produce more alternative energy. A report on the phase-out in Ontario is available from www.toronto.ca and from the Ontario Clean Air Alliance. They demand that the capital city, Toronto, phase out purchases of electricity generated from coal in order to fight off the growing problem of smog alerts. On June 16, 2005, the government of Ontario announced a delay in its deadline to shut down all its coal-fired plants. The largest coal power station will remain in service until 2009, and Ontario will try to refurbish two of its broken nuclear reactors.
Uh-oh.
The Canadian manufacturers and exporters applaud the extension of coal use, warning of blackouts and billions of dollars in damage to the economy if coal-powered plants were closed down. During the last 2 years, the Toronto area has had a record number of days where residents were advised to stay indoors due to smog. Hospitals and clinics are seeing increased breathing problems due to air pollution, and coal-burning plants top the list of suspects. This is critical. So far, the most earnest attempts to phase out coal, whether in Canada or China, arise not out of fear of a damaged climate, but from popular pressure for clean air to breathe. Even if coal pollution appears to blow away, it inexorably adds to the growing carbon content of the Earth's atmosphere. Whatever we may say, or promise for 2012 or 2050, the climate and its delicate balances of living systems are being damaged now. If we knew for certain that burning coal today will tip ocean currents, drive millions into refugee camps due to drought, and flood millions more, wouldn't we stop? We do know for certain, the facts are in. Will we act to survive? Studies by the World Watch Institute estimate that coal particulates and sulfur dioxide lead directly to 500,000 premature deaths every year. Millions of new respiratory illnesses are created by coal burning. Cities like Beijing and Delhi are close to the smog levels found in London in 1952, where 4,000 people died. Almost 2 million people a year die from coal smoke just from cooking. Asian air pollution now reaches the U.S. West Coast and coats the upper atmosphere with carbon. Governments fund these deaths and the coming climate chaos. At least $63 billion of public money goes into subsidizing the coal industry, and that doesn't really count the railways, ports, and roads and other public infrastructure built and used for the coal trade. Counting these indirect subsidies, in 1999, Germany paid out a whopping $21 billion to the coal industry. That's more than $70,000 for each and every miner. Coal is a dominant player all over the world. Coal owners have had direct access to top political leaders for decades, and they fund countless candidates. ENN, the Environmental News Network, reports that the United States and Denmark still depend on coal for 53% and 74% of electricity. South Africa, and China are the most coal-reliant developing countries, with 78 and 73% shares of coal in overall energy use. For a coal phase-out to succeed, the World Watch Institute recommends a fair transition for affected workers. Coal miners number about 10 million worldwide, less than one-third of 1% of the global workforce. To minimize the dislocation of workers, the Institute recommends following the lead of governments in China and the United Kingdom, who have located solar cell manufacturing sites near abandoned coal mines. In November 2003, an independent review commissioned by the World Bank recommended the bank stop financing coal projects immediately and end investments in oil production by 2008. But a series of 19 major banks, including Citibank and Barclays, want the World Bank to keep financing new coal projects to keep on paying to wreck the climate. The World Bank caved in. Money is more important. There are environmentalists who capitulate to the need for coal power. David Hawkins, the director of the climate program at the Natural Resources Defense Council, says our political systems just cannot give up coal. It's relatively cheap and abundant. So Hawkins is supporting the proposed would-be demonstration plan for zero-emission coal burning called Future Gen. In the Future Gen model, nothing has been built or even announced, the coal would be gasified first, carbon dioxide and other pollutants would be filtered out, and the cleaner gas burned to make power. The smokestack emissions would also be captured and driven down into a repository below the earth, perhaps in an old mine or an old oil field. That's the hope to limit climate change. Of course, it's already much too late for distant plans. Climate change is upon us and accumulating strength in the atmosphere. Meanwhile, humans cut off the tops of mountains, strip away the layers of living things to make their black gouges in the earth, to power our gaudy displays of lights and all the toys that Carbon Santa brings. There are other moves away from coal. Lester Brown tells us, the United Kingdom, which used coal to launch the Industrial Revolution more than two centuries ago, cut coal use by 40% between 1990 and 2001, mainly by substituting natural gas. Britain's coal miners have declined from more than a million workers in their glory days to less than 10,000 today. Britain's largest coal pit, the Selby operation in Yorkshire, was allowed to close in 2002. Lester Brown also says Germany, Europe's largest industrial economy, cut coal use by a comparable 41% from 1990 to 2001. Reduced subsidies, gains in energy productivity, and the massive harnessing of wind energy means the use of coal may be on its way out in Germany as well. Read Lester Brown's press briefing on December 3, 2003 at earth-policy.org. But Germany continues to subsidize coal mines and just completed Europe's largest coal plant installation. Despite legendary greens, the country remains a carbon spout into the upper atmosphere. Even the business publication The Economist ran a cover story in July 2002 with the title, quote, Coal, Environmental Enemy Number One. The magazine called for a punitive carbon tax to discourage coal burning. But the United States and Japan have increased coal use. China and India are also pumping up the coal, despite diplomatic announcements. China claims it shut down thousands of small coal operations this year due to safety concerns. Up to 5,000 Chinese coal miners die every year in widespread accidents. But China is also under pressure from city dwellers, including in the capital Beijing, due to horrible air quality. Many people moving outdoors wear breathing masks all the time. Children and old people are dying prematurely by the tens of thousands due to polluted air. The Chinese have an example of a widespread ban on environmentally damaging mining. In mid-October, China banned all gold mining in Tibet as a major source of pollution to that fragile environment. This year, the Chinese government ordered almost 2,000 unregistered coal operations closed and another 9,000 illegal coal pits shut down. At the end of August 2005, the central government ordered officials at all levels to pull out of any coal mining investments. But the country still gets most of its power and heat from coal, operated huge coal operations, and imports still more from countries like Australia and Canada. The largest single coal-polluting country, the United States, has barely whispered the idea of changing energy sources. There are movements to ban mountaintop removal mining, which chops out mountains and fills valleys with slag. Those impacted locally by coal smog have battled particular power stations. But there is no highly visible movement to save the climate by stopping coal use. The sleepers dig out dirty coal carbon while complaining about the strange weather. In Australia, the world's largest coal exporter, read climate profiteer, the Green Party promised to ban coal-powered electricity if elected. There have been a string of protests against coal use by Greenpeace. For example, on November 11, 2000, in the Netherlands at Rotterdam, Greenpeace activists boarded the bulk carrier La Paloma with its cargo of Australian coal. Campaigner Paul Horsman called for a phase-out of not just coal, but of fossil fuels altogether to protect the climate. 3 years ago, on June 9, 2003, Greenpeace took the opportunity of a major coal conference in Bali, Indonesia, to call for a complete global phase-out of coal. Red Constantino, climate and energy campaigner, said bluntly, "The coal industry needs to clean up its act. Because of climate change, the only way it can do this is to phase itself out, starting today, not tomorrow." The oil company BP changed its name from British Petroleum to Beyond Petroleum as a new vision for a company engaged in an unsustainable business. Likewise, the coal giants need to publish their plans to wind down their industry to preserve Earth's climates and its citizens. According to Greenpeace, coal produces over 40% of the world's annual carbon emissions. It's hardly a sundown industry. Between 1973 and 1993, global coal use rose by 36%. Coal burning exploded in Asia during those two decades, expanding 162%. Analysts predict Asia's coal appetite, mainly fed by Australia, will grow by 14% a year, even while violent storms rock the continent. All this explains why atmospheric carbon is skyrocketing. So far, the idea of ending coal use on the planet Earth is outlandish, perhaps impossible for most people to imagine. A technorati search of millions of blogs finds not one ready to end the carbon tragedy. As children of the Industrial Revolution, we are blinded by the drug that made it possible, even though we have clean, renewable technologies to replace it. Humans will spend trillions on the Iraq War and zillions on arms. They will send polluting vehicles into distant space, but they cannot see past the black haze that brought them out of the fields and into the factories. While there is an international plan to help newly industrialized countries switch away from CFCs to save the ozone layer, there is no international agreement to install clean alternative energy instead of deadly coal. Climate agreements require a whole new plan to replace coal entirely across the world as a top priority of all governments and corporations. Recent studies in Germany found that planting more trees cannot reduce greenhouse gases, cannot stop climate change. The only solution is to drastically reduce our carbon output. We are now in a crisis mode. We need to end coal mining and coal burning around the world. Try to imagine it. Talk about it. Act where you are. This report comes from Radio EcoShock, the net's only all-environment radio station. Tune in free at www.ecoshock.org. That's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org.